Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much. I hope you enjoyed the first hour. I was really appreciative of Miss Berta Voss coming on. She is a German national. As we said, she called in from Germany, and she is recovering. She doesn't mind us telling about it. She's recovering from cancer. She was very ill for a long time. She was on our show for about three. She did about three shows, her and Monica Schaefer, our first time we ever did a series on the Holocaust. And then later on, we did a series on exposing the Holocaust with Fred Lutcher and Jürgen Neumann. And they did an excellent job. But, you know, we've covered false flags on this show a lot. We're going to cover a false flag tonight that's really dear to my heart. I was not a Marine, but I was a PFD, a proud friggin' draftee in 67. And this today, I bet you've never heard of it, but today is the 38th anniversary of the Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut, Lebanon. Today, it actually happened October the 23rd, 1983, on President Reagan's watch. And people, there was 307 fatalities that we know of. 241 United States Marines, and I think one Army guy or two, but mostly it was primarily Marines. 58 French military, 6 civilians, and they say 2 suicide bombers. But we since know. I mean, I would have known from the very beginning. It was the same old, same old. It's always the Jew all the time. It's always the Mossad, and they're always running these false flags to try to drag young boys, American boys, in to bleed the rivers of blood for Israel and the Jew, you know, the chosen people. We have to do, you know, even if we get into another world war with China, even if we burn the United States to a cinder, as long as we maintain that sandbox over there, Israel, that we will have achieved our goal. But anyway, I'm going to shut up now. We're going to bring Gene Andrews, my favorite, everybody's favorite guy. He used to be a Marine, but now he's the bitter ender. But I can't think of a single person who'd be more equipped and more qualified and more would honor our show more to bring this fine Marine officer of Vietnam to talk about those Marines, those gallant Marines, 241 of them blown to hell for no reason in Beirut. So, Gene, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother, and let you air it out, fella.
Well, thank you very much there, Eddie. Always an honor to be on your show. And thank you for reminding me of the date that occurred. I knew it was in the fall, and I'd forgotten the exact date on that when that happened. You know, there's a lot of information out there about what was done then in this kind of a disaster that we had in Lebanon. One of the reports that came out was that the people that were guarding the entrance to that barracks where they were not allowed to keep loaded weapons. It's almost like they were guarding against the Cub Scouts attacking the building. And you wonder why you would even put people out there in a dangerous situation like that and not have plenty of firepower to protect the entrance to a compound where American servicemen were stationed. There are so many setups that have occurred that are just really, really disgusting about what the United States government has done. Of course, on the Blood River, we've had quite a few programs and interviews with the men that were on the USS Liberty, and the same kind of a false flag set up there that was set up by the Israelis and Lyndon Johnson to deliberately sink an American ship and sacrifice the lives of, I think it was 294, the crew of the Liberty, sailors and Marines on that. And then you turn around here, and looks like the same thing, same type of setup. was done in Beirut to sacrifice American lives and draw us into a war that really we had no business even being there in the first place. Other than protecting our wonderful allies in the Middle East, and they always talk about the only allies we have in the Middle East, and that's the Israelis. And I often wonder if we stopped being such fools and supporting Israel and all the criminal activity that they have, why would we need another ally in the Middle East? We could be allies with all the other countries there, and we wouldn't be at at odds ends with all of the Arab nations in the Middle East if we didn't blindly support Israel. But we know the answer to that. They control our media. They control the banking. They control our Congress. They control the news media. So we only get one story here in the States, and it's their story, and anybody that criticizes it or questions it is automatically declared anti-Semitic, and it doesn't matter what the facts say. You criticize the chosen people, and you're on everybody's blacklist right off the bat. So there was another incident of that.
You know, Gene, you just told me something I didn't know. I didn't know that Marine personnel there and other guards were like almost sounds like told to stand down with not if hardly any ammunition, if any at all. No way to defend that compound. Gene, it sounds like that the whole thing was a setup.
You know, you think about it, they had kind of roadblocks set up where you had to, make an S turn to get in there, but, anybody that was going full speed could knock their way in. But you're out on the perimeter, and obviously you try to stop a car, vehicle, truck, whatever, and, what are you going to do? Shoot them with a cork pop gun or something like that, or a water pistol? The whole thing was to me, and after I read about it, after the hysteria died down of the initial shock of what had happened, and you start reading other accounts or getting other accounts of what really went on, and you shake your head and it just the stupidity of some of the things this country does, and the way we sacrifice our military personnel and just use them basically as pawns in this just really sickening chess game that this country plays. I was talking to a friend of mine today. We were working and said something came up about World War II, and he made the point that that's the last war that we fought in that was actually ended with a surrender. Every other war since then, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, they're just undeclared wars, and they go on forever. There was never a definite end to when that war was supposed to end, and, okay, we won, and we're coming home now. So the situation that we faced in this last, 60 years, whatever, has just really been a dismal record for the United States abroad and its military and the way its military has been used. These young boys enlist, and I was one of them, thinking I was going to be really patriotic and, we're going to stop communism in Southeast Asia and all that. Little did I know that McNamara had set this whole thing up, that Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag from the get-go. And then even after the war, he and North Vietnamese military commander General Giap got together, and they even laughed about the Gulf of Tonkin. 58,000 killed in Vietnam, and that low life is laughing about it. And that shows you what kind of leadership we've had in this country.
I tell you what, I'm trying to hold my temper because that really makes me smolder. I'm telling you, folks. Vietnam was my war, and I can't tell you how bad it was. But I'll tell you what, you mentioned these false flags. It's just one after another. Something else you mentioned too, Gene. I'm reading this book. I'm gonna try during the break. I'm gonna try to go get it because you know how crappy my memory is. It was written by Major Arch I think his last name was Moore, but it's just loaded with people that, you know, people writing additions onto it. One of them was a Major General Willoughby, who was the chief of intelligence under General MacArthur in the Second World War. But if you notice, you talked about these unending wars. You said something that hit home. Second World War, the last war in which the United States achieved pretty much total victory, and we had an end to the war. Ever since they brought that United Nations in, I think it was 1948, Gene, you can correct me on that.
Yep.
It's the same thing. War after war after war, never ends, never ends, never ends. And guess what? The undersecretary in the United Nations, ever since then, for the first 12 years I've got to listen to this book, every single one of the undersecretaries in the United Nations were a Russian, a Soviet, a communist, and they were the ones that were in power. They were the ones that directed the political and the military security of the United Nations Army. For instance, if you watch MASH, one of my favorite old rerun shows, they talk about a United Nations police action. Well, the communist undersecretary of the UN was giving directions, was controlling both sides of the conflict. Every order that MacArthur gave, every request for men, military, beans, band-aids, bullets that MacArthur submitted, it had to go through over the desk of this communist from Russia and the United Nations. And it's a setup that you know, we've been under a communist rule. And that goes right to the communist takeover we just saw in this last election. And I'll shut up because I hear the music. We're going to a break. We'll come back. We'll go right back to Mr. Gene, the Bitter Ender. Be right back.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Hey, people, we're right back. Me and old Gene, the Bitter Ender. He used to be a Marine, but he tell you what he did one day. I hope you don't mind me telling you about it. He got kind of irate because it was this young fellow was going to do the honorable thing and following Gene's footsteps. He was going to go and join the United States Marine Corps for honorable reasons. He wanted to support his country. He wanted to be a good citizen. And he went into the Marine Corps, and I think I'll get Gene to finish the story, but Gene, go ahead and finish that story, Gene, because you know it better than I did, because you're the one who threw the medals away.
They've done something different from when I went in. When you and I went into Vietnam, if you had a heart rate and were breathing, you were in. That was it, you know.
So, true.
But now they do a lot of pre-testing, the physical fitness test, a lot of other tests that they have before they ever sign them up. So this young man passed all of those with flying colors, and I've seen him shoot. He's a crack shot. He could have easily been on a scout sniper team, no problem at all. And he was all gung-ho and ready to go. And after he got out of high school, he got a tattoo of a Confederate battle flag on the back of his back. So the only way anybody could see that, you know, it wouldn't be on his forearm, wouldn't be up on his bicep. You know, he'd have to have his T-shirt off, and you know, before anybody could see it. The Marine Corps booted him out, wouldn't allow him to join. And I thought, what kind of idiotic nonsense is that? Here's somebody that would be a top-notch recruit, a highly skilled rifleman, and you're going to turn him down because he's a Southerner, and you've had Southerners in the Marine Corps that, you know, like Chesty Puller, General Lewis Puller, on Guadalcanal and at the Chosin Reservoir that got the 1st Marine Division out of that mess up there. Southerners like that, John A. Lejeune at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina was named for. You have all these Southerners, and then they turn around, and the Marine Corps, unfortunately, has turned into just another bureaucratic, politically correct government, I don't know what, department, I guess. That's about all you can say for it. And now they're even worse. About banning anything Confederate on any Marine Corps base or any Marine Corps installation. I thought, you know, that's just really sick. That they're more concerned about that than training these Marines to go into combat situations. And you say, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. If, you know, well, so what, so what? Well, look at the disaster in Afghanistan. You know, that's what's running our military today. Not only an illegitimate president and a crook that stole the election and somebody that's senile, but now you've got the heads of the branches of the service in the Department of Defense making idiotic decisions and trying to lie to us like the American public will believe all this garbage they give us in these hearings before Congress and saying that, you know, we've done a great job getting all these people out of Afghanistan. I mean, we've still got people over there now that work for us that are being hunted down and killed. And yet they say that was a great military operation. And the news media goes right along with it. I suspect in, you know, another 6 months to a year, they're going to say that Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan was as great a military operation as the flag raising on Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima. And so don't be surprised if the news media comes up with that. But it's really, you know, horrible to think the disgrace that we have in our Department of Defense and upper level, generals and above, and what they're doing, and that they're sacrificing the lives of these young people that are going into the military service because they are patriotic and they are enthusiastic and they think they need to serve the country. And yet they're just pawns for these people and they're climbing up the career ladder with no regard for the safety of their troops. And they talk about, you know, well, you people in the South are always harping back to your history and all this. But we had real heroes, and I just finished, again, reading for a second time, Dr. Samuel Mitchum's book, Bust Tail Wide Open, A Biography of Nathan Bedford Forrest. And I highly recommend that to our listeners, not so much because of the military part of it, which it does. It covers all the battles that Forrest was in. But this book really, really, really emphasizes his character. And when you read about the things he did to protect his enlisted men, to protect the civilians of the South, to you know, minimize the losses that he took in combat, and then you compare a commander like Forrest to some of these clowns that we had in Afghanistan and that were in charge of this withdrawal, there is no comparison. It's like comparison of, well, you know, like I said, there is no comparison in what he did and how he was so resentful of the upper echelon in the Confederate chain of command for wasting the lives of the soldiers. And that's why he got into it with Braxton Bragg after the Battle of Chickamauga. Confederates won a huge victory, destroyed the Federal Army that just retreated pell-mell back over Missionary Ridge and was just huddling and quivering and shaking in Chattanooga. And Forrest was chomping at the bit to get after him, bring the rest of the army up, and destroy the Federal Army, march back to take Nashville, maybe on to Louisville or whatever. And all those lives that were lost at Chickamauga were wasted because the upper echelon, the West Point trained general, Braxton Bragg, wouldn't finish the job. And in his book, Dr. Mitchum gives a quote from Erwin Rommel and says, never fight a victory when winning it, or never fight a battle when winning it gains you nothing because of the sacrifice of life. So that, to me, is why we revere our heroes that fought during that war, because they were men that were responsible for the lives of their enlisted personnel and were very jealous of taking care of them, that they were not about to send these boys out and just be slaughtered and not take responsibility for it. And that's why I was such an admirer always of Forrest, because of how jealous he was of the responsibility that he had to take care of his men and these young boys. And, you know, a lot of them were teenagers, 16, 17 years old, that joined up and served under his command. And that, to me, is the greatest contrast about what a leader should be and what we have today. So, sorry to get on your soapbox, on my soapbox there, but the difference is so obvious, it's appalling. And yet, the heroes that we have, like Lee and Forrest and all of these Confederate heroes, their statues are being torn down, their names are being dragged through the mud, and lie after lie after lie after lie is being perpetrated by the news media, by these worthless politicians that we have, and they want to take all of the Southern Confederate monuments, statues, out of the statuary hall there in Congress or in the Capitol. And my answer to that is fine. I'd be embarrassed if I were Confederate Jefferson Davis or Lee or somebody like that, and I wound up in the Capitol of these bunch of rats that we have running this country. I wouldn't want to be associated with them. I'd want my statue out of there. I wouldn't want to be around them. So, anyway.
That is so true. Gene, you can get on the soapbox. That's why Blood River Radio, the audience always wants you here, because we like you on your soapbox. Some of the people say they like me to go on my rabbit. You know, I'm always going off on these rabbit trails.
Well, I think I took off after the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland or something there. But it is. We're talking about the military and, yes, and the contrast in what heroes we have and hold up as heroes. And I sincerely believe that is why there's such an attack today against Confederate statues and Confederate leaders, because even the idiots on the left can see the character and integrity and honor that these people had, men and women, that served the South and defended the South, compared to the garbage that's out there just sloshing around in the sewers out there today, and what we have as so-called leaders today. Whether they're progressives or the nutcases that we have in the administration, or if they claim to be conservatives until the pressure's put on them, and then they fold up like a cheap lawn chair, and that's the last we hear of our great conservatives that we voted for and elected.
You know, like, you remind me, because when you say conservatives, well, doggone, there's the music. Man, I wanted to sing before the music came on, y'all. Anyway, y'all hold on to that thought. When we come back, I might just break out the tune, y'all. Might even dance. Folks, y'all, hang on. We're going to go right back. Me and Gene are going to be talking about some really serious stuff really when we come back. So hold on. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Republicans in the House Committee on Natural Resources held a forum Friday to discuss how President Biden's exit from Afghanistan left massive untapped reserves of rare earth metals, lithium, and other vital minerals in Taliban hands, potentially opening them up to exploitation by China. Influential conservative commentator Candace Owens called on the U.S. to intervene in Australia's tyrannical treatment of its citizens this week, less than a month after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis compared Australia to China.
When do we invade Australia and free and oppress people who are suffering under a totalitarian regime? When do we spend trillions of dollars to spread democracy in Australia?
She noted that the U.S. spent 20 years and trillions of dollars on a war in Afghanistan to purportedly spread democracy in a tyrannical land. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow. Made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99, but only if you use my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Gas prices are the highest they've been in 7 years, and they're going to keep on climbing through the winter. Across the entire United States, the current average price for a gallon of gas is $3.37. The last time it averaged $3.37 a gallon was September 17, 2014, according to records kept by AAA. The number of Americans left behind in Afghanistan appears to be much higher than we were led to believe. Here's Mike Fortier.
The White House never gave an exact number of Americans left behind in Afghanistan once the Taliban took over, but they used phrases like a handful or about 100. Congressional sources, though, tell the Washington Free Beacon this week the number is closer to 400, and at one point was about 600. California Republican Congressman Dara Lysa tells the Free Beacon this shows the Biden-Harris administration repeatedly lied to the world about the citizens of our country it abandoned in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, among Afghans who were airlifted to the U.S., about 12,000 of them, or 20%, arrived without any paperwork or identification.
This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, dear people, I tell you what, Gene Andrews, Mr. Bitter Ender, has sure made my day coming on tonight. I always know things are going to go good. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to educate you audience out there. Gene is a walking textbook when it comes to anything history. The guy is, we get calls about him all the time. Not only is he my favorite, he's an audience favorite too. But we were talking about during the break, I won't get as graphic because I can get pretty raunchy. Our government is so pitiful. The people we have occupying our government. I'll go ahead and say this one thing. It's like comparing a nice T-bone steak that's cooked to perfection to a dead possum in the road. I mean, that's the difference between the Southern leaders we had, the Genes talking about, General Nathan Bedford Forrest. I mean, has there ever been anybody better than General Lee, a better Christian man? Gene was telling us about how our Southern leaders looked after our troops. You know, I know Gene's an officer. I don't have to tell him. The officers always eat last. They always take care of their men. They always make sure the buck privates, spec four, spec five goes through the chow line first. You know, the grunts eat and then the officers, they take care of their men. Well, that's not the way it is in this government here. I was just thinking about, how the scuttlebutt was when I was a grunt or I was a medic. That I know you may not believe this. I'm sure Gene's heard about it. A lot of the dope coming back, getting to Los Angeles, California specifically, in general all over the United States. But some of that dope, people, guess where it was being smuggled from? It was our United States government loved our servicemen so much, they honored them by putting dope, bringing the coffins back, these dead GIs being brought back to be buried. They were put dope in those coffins. That's just one of the many things that our precious government did. I was telling Gene during the break, we used to have, when I was with James in the cesspool, we used to have this Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz on. He was the most highly decorated Green Beret officer, still alive. And he was telling us a story about how he returned to Vietnam. I was telling Gene about this during the break. He returned to Vietnam looking for, he'd heard these rumors, him and his team looking for POW camps, and, you know, slave, if they were being used as slave labor and stuff. Well, he stumbled upon this General Kum Saul. He was this Burmese general, and the Burmese general was his ally during the Vietnam War. And but he had turned into this gigantic dope dealer. They were bringing dope out of the jungles in donkeys, but they probably have trucks now. And, you know, Colonel Bo dressed him down for sinking. He said, you used to be an honorable military leader, and now you're this dope dealer. And he's in the General Kum Saul told Bo Greitz, he says, surely you're not that ignorant. You know, your government, high officials in your government are our best customers. So that's what our government did. They sent us over there in a United Nations war. The Gene mentioned Korea. Korea was probably, from what I read, was probably worse than Vietnam because I can't stand the cold. And Gene mentioned earlier, if you remember, the battle of the Frozen Chosen. My God, I think I'd have committed suicide. They got 30 degrees below zero up there. And those Marines, I think the Army in the 7th Division, they were up there. Get this, folks. They were up there in summer uniforms. And our stupid government knew about that. They sent those guys up there in summer uniforms, and they froze to death. Many of them froze to death. And anyway, people, I'm kind of going off on a rant there, but our government don't give a hoot in hell about our servicemen. And might be going off on a rabbit trail, but I'm hooking this all back up to the Beirut barracks bombing. Gene mentioned earlier the false flag at the Gulf of Tonkin that got me and Gene in Vietnam. It was just one false flag after another, after another, after another. And with that, I'm going to shut my mouth and go back to my brother Gene. Go ahead, Gene. I hope I didn't go over too much of a rant.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But it does all tie together. When you look at the lack of leadership we have, when you look at the so-called leaders that all they're concerned about is getting that next promotion and coming up one more rank in the military or being reelected and sitting on their dead end in Washington and doing really nothing to help the country except increase their pension or have a government job where you really don't have to do anything because, you know, you don't have to show a profit. You know, you can waste millions or billions, and you're not accountable for it. You can say, well, we'll just print more money. That's fine. And, you know, any of us that do that, we get caught printing our own money. We go to jail. But they can do it and drive up inflation and whatever else, and they have no concern for the people that they represent. And that's the same thing that goes back to this bombing in Beirut in 1983. Those people in that barracks there were just set up, and they could care less about the life of the enlisted personnel. They knew that their congressional buddies or their people in the Pentagon, none of them were going to get hurt. None of them were going to be killed or wounded or anything like that. So they just looked at all of these military personnel, the French, the Army, and the majority of them, as you said, were Marines. They were just pawns on a chessboard, and they can just waste them to try to drag us into a deeper conflict in the Middle East. And our leadership is so corrupt and in cahoots with the Israelis in doing these things and dragging us into these endless wars, whether it's in Lebanon, whether it's with like the USS Liberty and trying to get us involved in a war with Egypt, or wherever it is, why are we so foolish to go out and fight Israel's wars for them? Our young men joined the military to defend the United States, but not to go off and fight and lay their life on the line for somebody else's country. Why can't the Israelis do that? If Egypt is such a threat to them, or Iran, or Afghanistan, or Iraq, or whoever, let them go fight it. I mean, we give them all kinds of weapons. They probably got one of the best armies, air forces, and military setups anywhere in the world. Let them fight it. Why do our boys have to shed their blood and their lives for that? And that was what was so infuriating about the bombing in Beirut, the attack on the USS Liberty, and even, you know, going into Iraq and Afghanistan. They said, oh, well, you know, we got to fight over there so we don't have terrorists in this country. Well, you know, the Twin Towers, I think most people know that was not brought down by an airplane flying into it. Yes, it hit it, but the destruction of those buildings was caused by internal explosions, and anybody that's had any kind of work with explosives can tell you by looking at that, it was just a demolition. And the same thing happened to that building number 7 after the Twin Towers collapsed. 3 or 4 hours after that, that building collapsed in the exact same fashion. They had it set with explosives, and whatever was supposed to hit it as the excuse to bring it down never happened. So they had to do something. They had to drop it, and it went down just like the Twin Towers, and it wasn't hit with anything. I mean, it didn't even have a kid's balsa wood model airplane flying to it, and it fell the same way. So the lies that are put out to cover up these false flag scenarios that the government comes up with in cahoots with the Israelis just really get more and more ridiculous. And it's a shame we don't have an honest news media that can call all of this into question. There should have been a lot of questions about how can these two buildings, the Twin Towers, North and South Tower, go down, and then a building that wasn't hit collapse in the same manner. That was never asked by the news media. So there's some I've heard all kind of screwball excuses that the government came up with, but and I think too, this Beirut bombing, if you drove a truckload or two truckloads of explosives in there, yeah, it could blow out part of the building, but just like the Oklahoma City bombing, the initial explosion went off there was not enough to detonate the entire building to collapse. And that's been a very, very questionable result of that, too. And I think the government has its fingerprints all over that Oklahoma City bombing, and just like the Beirut bombing. There was a lot more explosives than just what they could cram into a truck or a vehicle to drive into a building and have a suicide bomber blow it up. So there are a lot of things out there that, you know, maybe one day we will get all the answers for this, probably not in this life, but in the next life, maybe we can find out what really went on and how we were lied to and manipulated by the government. I mean, it's gone on forever. I mean, you know, look at all the things Lincoln did that lied us into a war. And he even admitted that he needed a war and he needed to have the South fire the first shot, because the longer the South stayed out, the more legitimate claim they had to having an independent country, which is all we wanted. So,
Gene, I tell you what, you have given me a lot of food for thought, and we're going to cover, we'll get right back to that as soon as we come back this break. Hold on to your seats, folks. We'll be right back with me and Gene, the Bitter Ender. Be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Har genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, welcome back, people. Welcome back to Blood River Radio. And I just thank God that my brother Gene, the bitter ender, is here. What a guy, man. But I tell you what, Gene is. So you see what I mean by he's so full of information. He goes to so many things to talk about. I wish my memory, wish my brain would work good at my feet. You know, I train for these marathons all the time. But he threw so many things out there. We had a fella. He's been on our show. He's been on Blood River at least one, maybe twice. He was the founder of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Was it Gates? What is his last? Gage. His last name is Gage. I can't remember his first name.
Yes.
Also, yeah, and Rich just tuned in something. I don't want to forget about the trial, the Charlottesville trial.
Yes.
Is going to start.
Can Rich give us any update on that, on how that's going?
He said it's going. He said that the Charlottesville trial starts Monday with jury selection. Now, we don't know. You know, the League of the South is going to be drug into that.
Of course.
Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs. And, you know, Gene talked about how scummy our government is. You know, people, if we try to stand up, Charlottesville, what's happening in Charlottesville with the persecution of the League of the South and Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs, what's happened is we went up there, our white guys, our white patriots, Southern patriots, went up to protest the destruction of a precious monument of Robert E. Lee. And just for because we did that, you know, we've covered that a bunch of times on this show. But listen, this has been going on. The persecution has been going on for 4 years. And we don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good. But that's just one of many times, one of many instances where Gene knows how we are persecuted. If we try to go out and hold up a sign and just exercise our constitutional and God-given right of free speech and peaceful assembly to redress our grievances. If we even do that, we get hounded by the damn satanic government. Yes, but that's if Rich knows any more details, I'm sure he'll too. He says that the Antifa is publicly threatening witnesses. Now, I've pledged on my honor that if Dr. Hill goes, I don't know if he's going to go. I think, you know, he wants to go there in person. If he goes, yours truly is going to be there. I think Matt, a good one, is going to go, but he may not want to because his wife's pregnant, about 6 months pregnant now. But we're going to go up there and cover that, Gene. I'm going to go up there and cover as best I can.
Well, it's going to be nothing but a Soviet show trial. The outcome has already been decided. They're just going to put on a trial just to act like they're trying to find out evidence and have a fair trial. But you know how that's going to go.
Oh, hell
and,
yeah.
The only people that are on trial are people from the alt-right, the conservatives. the Antifas and the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks that actually physically attacked us when we were there, not a single one of them is on trial. So that shows you how screwed up the government is and how rotten and corrupt our so-called legal system is. So
true.
You know, we're kind of getting away from the Beirut bombing, and I know that was the theme of the program this evening, but that is a news event, and the people that are being drug into the courtroom and harassed and made to fork over tons and tons of money for these trials and hiring lawyers and all the other things they have to pay for, they're all from the right, all the conservatives, you know, and they have money. The government has unlimited amounts of money to just ruin all these people financially, and that's what they're trying to do. They don't care about whether they're guilty or innocent. They're going to ruin them financially.
That's exactly right. You know, Gene, what I'm worried about most is, how bad are they going to hurt Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs? Because I know I've heard, I don't think you'll mind me saying it, he's in very real danger of losing everything he has, including his home, a place to stay. I mean, will he be put out, you know, having to sleep under a bridge? And I'm not being, you know, rhetorical or dramatic. That's a very real threat. And like Rich just said, yes, he said that Dr. Hill will be there. So that means, I'm going to be there. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit nervous about it because the Antifa are coming out in full strength, they say. I'm hoping we can get around without them seeing us, you know, going to and from the courtroom. I don't know if they'll even let us in and let me in the courtroom. But that's the price we pay. I mean, my God. And, Gene, this does tie in really with the Beirut bombing and with the Vietnam. I mean, it's all a war against white people, and especially against white Southerners, especially against white Christian Southerners. It just never ends. And we're going to go, and we're going to do our damnedest and let the chips lay. You know what? But it's going to be very expensive. See, another thing you mentioned, the government has unlimited money. You know, Dr. Hill is about out of money. I'm about out of money, and our listeners have sent us all over creation. I'm embarrassed to ask for any more money. I guess it'd be me and Dr. Hill. I don't know if Matt's going to go. We'll have to get a hotel room and kind of, you know, some of us sleeping on the floor, et cetera. But we can't let Dr. Hill go there by himself. I'm just hoping and praying that there's no casualties or anything. But I know we're going to. You know, Gene, I'm going to shut up after this one thing. The verdict was rendered 4 years ago. They knew exactly. I mean, the fix is in. Gene said it, knows it. I know it. But I'll shut up now. And Gene, go back to you, brother.
No. The whole thing was a set up deal between the city of Charlottesville, the Virginia Highway Patrol, the National Guard that we have there. And, you know, I was gullible enough to think, oh, they got plenty of police and the Highway Patrol and National Guard. There's not going to be any trouble here. All those bastards were on the other side. And they were in with Antifa and the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks to come after us. And I lost a lot of respect for law enforcement right there when I saw them had no intention of enforcing the law or protecting both groups. They were on the side of the attackers, the communists coming after us. And so what kind of law enforcement is that? And why would you respect law enforcement when they take sides and go after people who weren't going there to start a riot or anything, were just going there to protest and speak out against the removal of General Lee's statue, a Virginian, from a town in Virginia? And why would they turn and side with the communists to attack us? Because that's what the government wanted to do. And just like using the military and sacrificing them in no-win wars, the government sacrificed the integrity of their law enforcement.
Yes.
And put them on the side of the communists. And if they wanted Absolutely. To keep their job, they had to attack these evil, horrible, terrible conservative people that were coming to this ultra-liberal college town, and they had to make sure that the communists were allowed to attack us. And anybody that defended themselves was already automatically going to be hauled in and have criminal charges filed against them. So This is another. You know, you talk about all of these incidents like the USS Liberty, the Beirut bombing, the drug dealing coming in from Latin America into this country by the government, our CIA bringing it in. Another chapter of corruption of our government and what they do to destroy people that speak out against the corruption and the rottenness of the government. And so if they can't find a way to put Dr. Hill or any of the people, the organizers of the Unite the Right rally there in Charlottesville, if they can't, if it's so blatantly bad they can't, you know, get a conviction on charges, then they'll just ruin them financially and destroy anybody that dares to speak out against the imperial empire. So,
and what'll happen, Gene, they'll come in, if by some miracle, if God himself comes down and rescues Dr. Hill, Michael Tubbs, and we do get a favorable verdict, well, then you know what they'll do. The feds will come in and for some kind of a hate crime. They'll retry on a different charge of hate crime.
You get acquitted in a state or a city court, a state court, and they don't get the result they want, then they'll file federal charges. You know, that they'll come up with some screwball law that there's a hate crime or whatever. And, you know, everything they talk about. A friend of mine gave me a copy of USA Today, or USA in Disarray, that he got in a motel. And I don't know anybody that's ever bought one of those things. And the big story was how the leaders of Charlottesville, they called them the white supremacists, had been ruined financially by this. And, of course, they had to have the story of the girl that was attacking the young man's car, and they were climbing all over the car and beating out the back window with axe handles, and he was trying to get out of there, and they claim that he hit her and killed her. And of course, now he's of course convicted and serving a life sentence for what, you know, could have been manslaughter. It wasn't first degree, but anyway, that's what they did. But the coroner's report said that this gal was about 300 pounds overweight if she weighed an ounce, and died of a heart attack. And it wasn't a blunt trauma from being hit by a vehicle or anything like that. But that's just another one of the lies that the news media keeps perpetrating. And USA in Disarray had that, and even had a picture of a memorial, you know, with all the flowers and the balloons and everything that were put out by this gal, supposedly a victim of this boy that was trying to get out of there because the police did nothing to open up an avenue for us to leave. And this kid got caught off in a street, and all of these black animals were climbing all over his car, smashing the windows out and trying to get him. He just jammed it in reverse to get out of there. So, you know, and they say that he deliberately drove into a crowd. So, once again, another false flag operation.
I mean, could you imagine the panic that boy was in? I mean, you know, the car was in the street. Those stupid idiot communists, they were in the street. They were, like you said, they were swarming him. God only knows, 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 of them. They would have killed him. There's no doubt about it. Like Gene said, they're beating the windows out with axe handles, club. I saw ARs up there, Gene. And, you know, they would have killed that boy. He'd been dead. There's no justice. We've been taken over. Our government, we don't have a government. We have a group of Jewish bosses that run the goons, the soldiers on the street. We have criminals in Washington, D.C. I say we have to refuse to cooperate with them in every way. We have to refuse to be arrested. If they come get you, you have to refuse. Stay on your, because you're not being arrested by illegal government. You're being arrested by a bunch of Jewish, Satan-worshipping, sodomite, pedophile, drug dealing, just scum of the earth, and they hate white people. They hate Christians. They especially
and those
hate
are their good
Southerners.
Points. You mentioned their good points.
That's right. Well, I didn't want to get them too hard. The people.
All right, Eddie. You take care. Been a great
you
hour.
You too. People pray for Michael Hill, Michael Tubbs, and pray for those two guys. Pray for Blood River Radio that we'll have the courage to keep going on as best we can with what little meager resources we have. Good night, Gene. Thank you for coming on tonight, Gene. Thank you,
yes,
Cameron, for doing a bang-up job. Thank you, Blood River audience. Same time, same place next week. God willing. Good night, everyone.